As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And a very good morning. You are listening to Become Vocal Local right here over the Oracle Broadcasting Network. I am your host, William Roberts. And today is Thursday, February the 26th of 2009. While many of our affiliates and micro-broadcasting stations are away for their top-of-the-hour station ID, news, weather, sports break, we'll just have a couple of moments to ourselves here, 5 minutes or therefore. You know, there's so much information out there on the web to bring to the topic, bring to the table every day, that it's hard to make accurate decisions. So a lot of the stuff that I bring out on this broadcast are not just gleaned from the web, although for financial information and things like that, there really is no better source. It's up to the minute, and it's fresh, and it's hot, and every day. But you still have to have your antennas up, straight up, in this age of deception that we live in. So we're going to have a lot of information to go through today. I've got books stacked up all around me again. I just love my little library and like to add to it whenever I can, putting in books, I guess. Really, it's almost by accident, certainly not by design. The stuff that comes into my library is things that I find when I'm out and about, and certainly while you're out and about, if you're out on chores today, if you're planning anything later in the afternoon, keep your eyes peeled right now, especially right now, for state auctions that might be listed in the newspaper or flea markets that might be alongside the road there somewhere or yard sale signs. People are looking to get rid of things that they might consider collectibles. People are looking to get rid of things that they feel that they no longer need. Some people are downsizing their homes as they look around and try and find a less expensive house to live in or an apartment to live in. And so there are things that you, that those of you that might have a few dollars in cash in your pocket, might be able to pick up at an absolute song. Sets of encyclopedias going for $1 or $2 or something like that. And whether you're homeschooling children or whether you're just doing independent research, keep your eyes peeled. You see an old hardbound book someplace with printing so faded that you can't really even make it out. Do take a moment, pause, and look at it. I've got a book like that here open in front of me right now, published in the 1890s by B.A. Hinsdale. We're going to look at that after the break. But some of these things are just absolute treasures. And they're getting vacuumed up really into the dumpsters of America. They're getting thrown out. They're not being republished. It takes a lot of money to go through and interest to go through and republish some of these books. One of my very favorite booksellers. We have good booksellers here on the network. But one of my very favorite booksellers is the Liberty Fund Books. And they go through this process, a very expensive process of finding these books that have been out of print for a long time, critical understanding of what is liberty and what is freedom and how did our system of government come to be. And then they'll hire an editor and bring this kind of material back together again and publish it in a very durable and a collegiate, if you will, style binding. Good quality books, good prices, and certainly one of the sponsors I would like to bring onto this network. But anyway, we've got lots of stuff happening out there. If you've been following the gold, we're going to go into the markets right after this break. But if you've been following the gold, you'll see that it's trading low again. And I might also just remind the audience, you will hear a difference in the way I start the broadcast after the 8-minute time bell, if you will, as we come back from the first break, largely because I'm training myself and hopefully getting you in the mindset that we want this the Oracle Broadcasting to reach out into the big media, onto those blowtorches all across America, so we're getting ourselves ready for the big push. Be right back. Stay with us from Become Vocal Local.
I folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is shining over Missouri, folks, and it's time for a Show Me Showdown. We've got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to the Thursday, February the 26th, 2009 broadcast, that two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com. We're on the web. I'm on the web. www.vocallocal.org, OzarksVoter.info, and elsewhere. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and some workable solutions for you today, perhaps, if we look hard enough. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or you can pick up the telephone and call now. For those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, 512-904-8014, and join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you may call toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guest show topics and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. And for those without any internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri. That's Box 96, Exeter, Mo. The Big Mo 65647 is the zip. And again, those websites are vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065. And the chat room is open. Down but never out, gold is treading water, now below the 940 range, just a bit, but basically right in there. Why is that? We'll go into that a little bit today. Political socialization, cultural implications, we'll touch on that. More political science training, if you will. We'll take your calls and much more. Now let's go into those market reports for today. Thursday, February the 26th, 2009. Active trading, New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. New York time. Gold was down another $10.10, trading at 942. Just before the broadcast, I noticed that it dipped down in the 935 range. So it's getting a real pummeling today. That's off 1.06% over yesterday's high. Actually, yesterday's closing was a high yesterday either. But there's a lot of manipulation going into the marketplace. But again, every time gold goes down, it's a good time to buy. There's just no better advice that I can give you. Everybody that's out there in the gold markets, whether they're selling gold or whether they're just talking about the precious metals like I do, they all say the same thing. You buy on the dips and you buy long and you stay long. The chances are very good that it's going to go considerably higher than where it is right now. Silver, off another 20 cents to $13.53. And I, to be completely honest and fair in all of this, I must also say that even though when it was going up, I was saying, where can you get those kind of gains in a 24-hour period? Well, in the precious metal market, you need to beware and be wise as always, because you need to realize that you could also have those kinds of losses overnight. So it's a 50-50 thing. I'm not advising anybody to do anything. I'm not a counselor for you or your economic advisor or your economic guru, by no means. I'm just reporting the facts as they really are. Platinum up $8, 1,055, again in active trading. Palladium up a buck to $197 a troy ounce. That Dow Jones Industrial Average forced up a little bit, but not doing very well. 7,271 points, 7,271, not too good for the Dow. The NASDAQ equally down, 1,425 is what I've got on the web today. It may be higher by the end of the day. It may be lower by the end of the day. We'll have to wait and see. The U.S. dollar index off 42 basis points. You know, if gold's going down, the dollar should go up. But again, gold and the U.S. dollar have delinked. They're no longer bedfellows, if you will. They're no longer relatives. They're hardly relative at all. The USDX down 42 basis points, trading at 87.44 in active trading. Crude oil up 59 cents to $43.09 a barrel. Gold-silver ratio stands at about 69.62. Again, you watch that and you track that, not because it's going to save your bacon, but it might give you an idea if it starts getting down into the 40s and 50 range where the gold-to-silver ratio starts getting very low. It might be time to sell gold, buy silver, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. I'll let you know if I think that's a good thing to do. In the meantime, I just advise you of it, just to bring it to your attention. The lows and the highs, the spread today, so far, $935.20 was the low in the spot bid prices, $957.70 was the high. So you can see we've got a pretty good swing going already today. Market's going to close in 7 hours. It's 58 degrees here in southwest Missouri, under overcast skies. It's calm out there. It's moist, it might rain, and it'll be nice and welcome if it does. Lots of people are out in the yard getting their garden areas ready to go for the year. Some have already got things in the ground, cabbage and whatnot. It's been a while since we've had a frost here, so there's plenty of things you can be doing in the yard when you're not listening to the radio. Out of the Financial Times, this is www.financialtimes.com/gold for Wednesday, February the 25th. Yesterday's article, as of quite late, London time, gold coin shortage as demand soars. Now, I read an article to you yesterday about the Krugerrands, that they're producing as much as they possibly can. Let's find out a little bit more, because as we think about it. Now, on this broadcast, I haven't gotten into demand yet and demand curves and how you plot those and understanding demand and price ratios. We'll get there. But if we can understand that demand is, it really should be making gold prices soar. If demand soars, you know, price and the availability of the product is down, then the prices need to go up. So we know that this is a manipulated market. It's a rigged market. And we need to understand that. You and I don't have anything much to say about it. We can just either choose to participate in it or ignore it. But this is by Javier Blas in New York. Again, February 25th, 2009 from the FinancialTimes.com website. The rush by retail investors into bullion coins is creating shortages as mints across the world struggle to meet the surge in demand. Dealers and mint officials say. That's what experts say again. The scarcity is lifting coin premiums to as much as 5% above the gold spot price, a level reached briefly after the collapse of Lehman Brothers last September when coin shortages also surfaced. So we're talking about scarcity. Scarcity, high demand and scarce supply. That should certainly drive the prices up, but what's really happening there is that because of the prices are being forced down by the market manipulators, and believe you me, they're in there pummeling and beating away on our old friend gold and silver. Because they're in there monkeying with it, the dealers, the distributors, are charging a premium on top of the spot price because they know that people will pay those prices. We'll be back. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
And so we are back once again, continuing from this article. You know, we've got to understand that this, we don't live within free markets. All of this is managed trade. This is not free trade. It's managed trade, managed markets. And the managers really are not managing it well. They're managing it for their own advantage, for political reasons, not for economic reasons. And we need to be aware of that. Here, let's go back to the article again from Financial Times. There is, this is a quote, there is demand for double or triple what the U.S. Mint is able to produce, said Michael Kramer, the president of MTB in New York, one of the four U.S. gold dealers authorized to purchase bullion coins directly from the government's mint. I don't know whether you're aware of that, now you are, but there are only four main primary dealers that can purchase directly from the mint. All the other dealers that you hear on the radio and around and about, they all purchase from one of those four. So they've charged premiums. It's like a drug deal. You know, the mint puts them out, but then these dealers all get in line and everybody needs to make a profit, and they certainly should be able to make a profit. So the further down you trade in the line, the more you pay. Sometimes you might find in a local coin shop or something like that, you can get a pretty fair price on a coin, bullion coin, a Liberty, Free 33 gold, silver, things like that, because you're not having to pay the insurance, you're not having to pay the shipping, you're dealing mano a mano, face to face, cash across the counter, that sort of thing. So sometimes you can pick up coins that way, inexpensively. Sometimes at auctions and estate sales, you can pick up coins at a discount, if you will. Not always. When they go into the sale bills, folks like me turn out by the droves, and we're watching to make sure that if there's any bargains going, they're coming my way. But nevertheless, let's go back into the article here. The U.S. Mint has sold 193,500 ounces of its popular American Eagle gold coin in the first 7 weeks of this year, the same amount it shipped during the whole of 2007, and about the same as in the first 6 months of last year. You get that? Obviously, there's a demand for this product. With this kind of demand, why hasn't the mint stepped up its production? Is the mint participating in this Ponzi scheme? I think so. Let's go into it further here. Bullion coins used to be bought mainly by collectors and gold bugs, but the financial crisis is leading regular retail investors to embrace them, dealers say. Back to another quote from Mr. Kramer. He says, the demand is extraordinary. All the coins we got on Monday are gone today, Tuesday, and we'll not be able to take any orders until the following week, Mr. Kramer said. It's the same with other mints. And we talked about what was going on with the Rand Group, the Krugerrand, having the same kind of problems. Although the surge in coin demand is a bullish signal for gold prices, the fact that mints cannot match demand means that the potential extra consumption does not push the spot prices higher, but just drives the premiums above normal levels. So rather than rallying and responding to the demand, just making these four gold brokers, if you will, the big guys, the big dogs, it drives their premiums up, and it drives the spot price down. But how can it possibly do that? Are we being fed a line of goods here in this article? I question. Back to the Rand Refinery. The Rand Refinery in Johannesburg, which mints the world's most popular gold coin, the South African Krugerrand, said the demand was above its maximum capacity, even after doubling last month to 20,000 ounces from 10,000 ounces a week before. Johan Botha, the head of precious metal sales at the Rand Refinery, said there was demand for more from the international investors, pointing to strong sales to Switzerland, the UK, and Germany. If we were able to produce 30,000 ounces, the market would absorb it. not only is this, are we talking about gold here, folks, we're talking about the general lack of confidence in other markets. People looking for that, what we call the safe haven here of gold and silver coin, getting out of paper, getting into something tangible, something with thousands of years of history behind it. True money, if you will, biblical money if you want. Mr. Kramer said that MTB had Krugerrand orders equal to 3 months of refinery supplies to the company. They're holding orders here. This MTB has orders for Krugerrands equal to 3 months of the refinery supply. Interesting, huh? The New Zealand Mint said it was doing as much business in a day as it was in a month a year ago, mostly servicing its global investors. Michael Kane, the head of gold sales in the New Zealand Mint, said most mints and bullion manufacturers are struggling to meet current demand levels. You know, these indicators that I give each day, and that's the end of that article, the indicators that I give each day are just indicators that are commonly out there to give us an idea or a sense of what's happening in the global commodity market. And when I talk about gold, silver, platinum, palladium, the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, the USDX, crude, what we're basically looking at are common indicators, common things that you can follow so that you might start getting an idea for trends. Here's another article. This is out of London, a little bit different kind of an article. It has some acronyms in it I'm not familiar with, but it gives you some more of the idea here. Gold hedging slows, but the gold ETFs have grown more so far in 2009 than in all of 2008. Kind of a oddball way of writing a sentence, but that's the opening headline. There's an article by Lawrence Williams, the VM Group, and I don't know who they are. I need to find out who they are. But the VM Group report shows that global gold hedging in the fourth quarter of 08 fell 1.5 million ounces, or 45 tons, to 15.5 million ounces, or 483 tons. The exchange-traded funds offtake at 10.3 million ounces, or 321 tons, in 2009 is already higher than in all of 2008. These exchange-traded funds, it's electronic work. Very interesting little bit there. I'll just give you some more of that article. Along with the GFMS analyses and those from the CPM, the gold market always studies the VM Group's reports. Apparently the VM Group is a pretty reliable source. Issued on behalf of Fortis Bank with special interest, and the latest of these turns up some interesting data on de-hedging. If you don't understand de-hedging, we'll talk about it in greater detail another time. I'll do some research and get some accurate phraseology so that I don't mislead you. I'm with perhaps a faulty understanding of my own. But basically, it's cribbing in books, hedging your bets, so to speak. You've heard of that. Official gold sales and ETF holdings. The summary of the report is noted below. Just some of the high points. Dehedging. In its report, VM Group records that global gold dehedging slowed in the fourth quarter of 08, with outstanding hedge positions falling 1.5 million ounces. I'll spare you the details, the ounces and tons. But basically, there, what he's talking about is that the world gold market, they're getting out of this idea of hedging, which is good. It's good. Get rid of that, because there's a lot of trouble in there for the producers. 32 of the 37 companies with hedge positions cut them, led by Anglo Gold Ashanti, which reduced its hedge commitments by so on and so forth and so on and so forth. Lots more numbers I'm going to drop down. ETF flows, the exchange-traded flows. Flows into the 15 gold ETFs have broken all records in 2009 so far. Until February, flows into the ETFs outside the U.S., such as those in Europe, had been gaining ground against the U.S. ETFs, in particular the market-leading SPDR ETF, perhaps reflecting record gold prices in many currencies, including euros. Furthermore, even inflows into the SPDR ETF, exchange-traded fund, picked up again in February. We'll get right back to that right after this break. Stay with us.
always remember the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlackWitchNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or other issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlackWitchNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertising. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled Mockingbird don't want you to know about.
MySpace. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, this is Become Vocal Local. We are live this morning. This is Thursday, February the 26th, 2009. Those call-in numbers again are 512-904-8014 in the Austin area if you have unlimited long distance. And internationally from around America and around the world, 866-841-1065. We're going through a report here that has a lot of material in it that I'm still learning. I think we're all learning. We learn every single day. I certainly don't come out here and try and pretend that I know everything there is to know about these markets. Even though I've been watching them and following them for around 10 years, I'm still just as green as grass, no doubt about it. And so there's lots of others out there that can give you greater detail on some of these aspects. I present this material so that it kind of washes. It's like a watercolor, so it washes the canvas or washes the paper in your mind as well as my own with some of these things that are actually happening around us, coming on us and at us, things that alter our economic structure globally. And, of course, later in the day tonight, you keep your eyes on and listen to Lee Rogers. Lee's got a lot of study that he's doing. He's putting together a DVD on the Money Masters, so to speak, and so we'll all look forward to that. He's got a lot of inside specialized knowledge on this. This is just part of my broadcast, a little bit of juice, if you will, to get the day started. Back to this article again, however, We're talking about the exchange-traded flows, exchange-traded funds flowing into the market here. And we're looking at this article out of London. I'm going to continue right where I left off. Furthermore, it says, even inflows into the SPDR ETF, which picked up again in February, seem more correlated with the euro gold price than the dollar gold price. So because we're looking at this unusual delink between gold prices, the spot gold prices, and the U.S. dollar index, they used to be very tightly correlated. When the USDX would go down, gold would be going up, and the opposite would happen. And that's not the case anymore. Now gold goes down, the USDX goes down. Gold goes up, the USDX goes up. It's completely contrary. And so what this article is telling, the primary reason why I thought it was interesting, because it's saying here that it's more correlated with the euro gold price than the dollar gold price. Here's just drop down a little bit more. Talk about official sales. Net official sector sales slumped to blah, 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 as weak sales were offset by some additions, most notably by Russia. Sales by the central bank gold agreement signatories. Now, central bank gold agreement signatories. That's why I always say, you know, in this broadcast, you want to get the most out of it. You want to have a pencil and paper, you know, handy so that you can write some of this stuff down and take advantage of the archives. Maybe you could go in and find out just what is the central bank gold agreement, the signatories to that. Interesting. Who account for the vast majority of the sales so far in the first quarter of 2009 have been only an estimated 24 ton. And then it goes on and it goes on. Matthew Turner, VM Group's author of the report, said de-hedging has been highly supportive of gold prices over the past 6 years, but is now providing a more modest impact. At present, however, this slowdown is more than being offset by reduced bank sales. And most importantly, the rapid accumulation of gold by the exchange-traded funds. Gold is changing hands, folks. There's a reduced amount of bank sales. Gold is going back and forth into these various and sundry funds. Something is coming down the pike that you and I don't have the full details on. Certainly I don't have. We'll just drop the rest of that article. It's lengthy. All these articles, most often, you can find on kitco.com, www.kitco.com, or bloomberg.com. MarketWatch is another one that I'll go to sometimes. But find out about what's happening in the gold and silver and the currencies markets. It's important. There's another little thing that you can find on Kitco on a regular basis. It's up there right now on the bottom of the page, the home page, when you open it up, www.kitco.com. They have charts. And what they show is the exchange rates in the various currencies. And perhaps next week, I'm trying to spend some more time over the weekend and crystallize my thinking, type out some of what I want to say in regards to the Bretton Woods conference and the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and some other things. Very interesting discussion that can be had on that to understand a little bit more about these various dollar to gold prices. But there is a, if you wanted to use the terminology, there is a basket of currencies here. The Australian dollar, the Brazilian real, the British pound, the Canadian dollar, the Chinese yuan, the euro, the Hong Kong dollar, the Indian rupee, the Japanese yen, Mexican peso, Russian ruble, the South African rand, and the Swiss franc, all listed in a chart here. And they show the comparison, the exchange rates between these various different denominations, these various currencies, and they relate it to gold and they relate it to the U.S. dollar. So that you can take a look at it. You know, one of the things you very rarely ever hear on the various financial reports is the relationship between the Canadian dollar, the Mexican peso, and the U.S. dollar. You would think that that would be a regular fare, that we would all have a clear understanding of those three currencies, that little basket, that tiny little basket of currency. Why? Because the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement of North America embraces these three groups, these three currencies. And getting them all into the same basket is going to be rather difficult. But we need to be following that, I think. We should be watching it. Perhaps I'll add it in to my dailies. But just for instance, today, let me see if I can understand this chart properly. In one U.S. dollar, here we go. I'll look and make sure, yes, that's right. For to take a U.S. dollar, if with one U.S. dollar, you can buy, let me make sure I'm right. Let me try this one. Against the Canadian dollar, 0.7989. Let me make sure. Look down here, this one. The Mexican peso. The Mexican peso is 0.67, or about 7 cents on the of the dollar. So it would be about 14 pesos to the dollar, something like that. And I need to improve my delivery on this. A euro is it takes $1.28 to pick up a euro, it looks like. The Canadian dollar is 79 cents of a dollar, so you would get about $1.25 Canadian for a U.S. dollar and so on. I'll figure out how to read that chart better in the future. But those charts give us an idea of what the other currencies' values are in these baskets of currencies when we talk about special drawing rights out of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. We'll discuss this a little bit further so we start to get an idea. But if we are moving towards a global currency, we really don't need to look much further than the World Bank. It's already there. It's been around for a long time, since 1944, Bretton Woods. And the other day I heard Dr. Paul in one of the sound bites coming along saying something about that all ended in the 1971's time period, and then we went into the dollar exchange and blah, 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 other things. Well, I don't know whether that's correct or not. Need to check it out. Just because somebody says it doesn't mean necessarily it's true. But one thing is for certain, the World Bank hasn't gone anywhere. Timothy Geithner is our governor on the governors of the World Bank. Secretary of our Treasury is the governor there, and Ben Bernanke is the alternate. So, and that's, it's all housed up down in Washington, D.C., how convenient. So, it's not gone anyplace. I don't know exactly what was being said. I have to listen to that clip carefully and see just what Dr. Paul was intimating in his comment. But, nevertheless, we'll go into that and look into it with greater detail. And then as I learn more about it, I'll share it with you. Going back into political things, politics and political science and that. On other broadcasts, I've shared quite extensively from this particular book I'm holding, The American Government, written by B.A. Hinsdale. It was copyrighted back in 1891 by the Register Publishing Company. I have an 1895 edition, hardbound, American Government right here in front of me. Very beautiful old book. This is the preface. Just listen to what was going down here in the preface of this book published in 1891. The study of political science has received a great impulse in the United States since the Civil War. Now, recall that this was published in 1895. We're talking 30 years from that war, basically. In the schools, the change is particularly marked. This is owing to the direct influence of the war, capital W. Typically, we don't speak of the Civil War as of the war. We always would have to say the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, or the war between the states, that sort of thing. But because it was so prominent and there were no other big wars, this is the way he wrote about it. We'll be back. Stay with us as we find out more about our history.
Say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press Your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You know, the more you read and the wider you read, the deeper you read on various things, the more you get out of what it is that you do read. You spend up an hour just going into this first little paragraph here so easily. Just it would evaporate, just elucidating on what all is in here, the implications, what leads up to it. I'm going to start that sentence, begin this paragraph again. This is the preface to the first edition of this book by B.A. Hinsdale, which is a textbook, folks. You know, I've got a lot of textbooks and encyclopedias and dictionaries, and they lead me to other books, histories and biographies, etc. But I find these textbooks very valuable because they're snapshots of the mindset of the people coming out of the schools in those time periods, what they were being taught, what they were being indoctrinated with, what they were being educated to know. And then from, you know, it's inputs versus outputs, what we put in, what was put into the minds, then comes out 10, 15, 20 years later is outputs inside of our system. So it helps to understand our system a little better in this way. But the study of political science, now this is the study, capital S, of capital P political, capital S science, the study of political science, has received a great impulse in the United States, capital U, capital S, since the capital C, capital W Civil War. In the schools, the change is particularly marked. This is owing to the direct influence of the war, capital W, to the increasing number and difficulty of political problems attending the development of society, and to the growth of interest in human questions all over the civilized world. Now, of course, we understand here was the Civil War. We understand that here is the Radical Red Republican Party. Here are the Marxists in America. Here is the outward flow of Auguste Comte's system of sociology, positivism, his positive polity and his positive philosophy and ultimately his positive religion. All of this is coming to bear here on our shores, in our schools. But this particular book is excellent. If you understand the historical context, what's going on around it, it's an excellent work and it tells us much. Let's continue. Next paragraph. The change in the character of the work done in the schools is almost as marked as the change in its quantity. So it's the change in the character of the work that was being is done in the schools, almost as marked as the change in its quantity. What was being taught, the curriculum, the number of books, the number of topics, the number of subjects, it was growing more. And, you know, not just the character of it, but also the quantity of it. How much more time was being invested in school? How long, much longer did the students stay in school, etc.? A generation ago, such work was practically limited to the study of the Constitution of the United States. Isn't that interesting? Carried on in a very narrow way, he writes. So a generation, just one generation prior to the publishing of this book, the idea of political science was practically limited to the study of the Constitution of the United States. The sole textbook was the traditionary civil government, quote-unquote, that still lingers in some schools. This is the introduction of the historical and scientific methods of investigation and teaching has changed for the better. Okay. So this is a new form of teaching. Now we're introducing the historical and scientific method of investigation and change and teaching. The field of study has continued to widen until in the best schools it can no longer be covered even by the ablest students, and it has become a serious matter to know what portion of it to cultivate. Ever learning and ever coming to the knowledge of the truth, we continue to expand our curriculum here, to the point where even the ablest students can't cover it all. As the result of much experience, both as a student and a teacher of the subject, the author is of the opinion that not only in the high school, capital H, capital S, and the academy, capital A, but also in the college, capital C, the American government should still be the central subject of study in this field. So we have the high schools, the academies, in the colleges. He says that the American government, now he's referring to his book, The American Government, should still be the central subject of study in this field. This opinion he holds on both practical and pedagogical grounds. In other words, he's proud of what he's done and what he's written, but also from a practical level. Continuing, he is further of the opinion that this study should embrace a comprehensive view of the origin and growth of the American government and an adequate historical and exegetical commentary upon our dual constitution, national and state. Our dual constitution, national and state. He has accordingly attempted to furnish a textbook embodying these ideas. And then there's much more in here. But I'm just giving you an idea because here is a textbook that was published in 1891, considered by many, particularly the author, as the finest in its class and caliber at a new time, in a new place. And yesterday and throughout the week, I've been referring to this book, this another textbook, published in 1971, by Marion Irish and James Prothrow, The Politics of American Democracy. And in this book, you will find precious little about the Constitution, even though they do, as an appendix, include the Constitution for anyone that might be curious. But it's also interesting to collect, as I have, various textbooks. One of the things that was most marked when I was going to school, college that is, back in the same time that this book was published in 1971, in a long line of publications starting in 1959. But at this time, when I was going to school, I was very disappointed that the professors would cover perhaps Chapter 1, Section 3 and 5, Chapter 5, Sections 2, 3, and 8, Chapter 9 or 11 or whatever, just making them up out of the top of my head. They would cherry-pick little bits out of a book. You were going to study this material for a quarter of the school year, but we were only going to cover a fraction of the textbook. Now, that's a real good way to get completely confused and upside down and inside out, and I think that was part of the intention. So what I would do is I would buy the books early, knowing which classes I was going to take the following quarter, and then I'd read the books in their entirety to get the maximum use of the book, and then work through those various sections that would be assigned. And, of course, I was consistently well above a 367 average, largely because I'd taken that time, or a 397, or a 40, depending on where we are at in my going to school. But not to blow my horn, just simply to say, because, you know, you can be the smartest chimpanzee in a class taught by a baboon at Podunk University. And that's all you seem to be, is just the smartest chimpanzee taught by a baboon at Podunk U. You can still graduate cum laude and have the piece of paper and have nothing but pudding between your ears. So it's, you get out of education, you get out of reading, you get out of study, you get out of independent research, precisely what you put into it. Garbage in, garbage out, little in, little out, so on and so forth. So looking at this textbook then, we can see what the transformation has been in political science over these years. What has been the outward impact, if you will, of sociology and the various and sundry directions of the foundations as they influence public opinion and law and legislation through the various foundational grants and support, and through the creation of UNESCO, which in the time that B.A. Hinsdale was writing his textbook on political science, it wasn't even a figment of anyone's imagination yet. So there's a lot to consider when we think about politics and education, and we're going to pick that up as we come back in greater detail for the second hour. But I will just simply say that what was told to me in 1970s was that education is a business. And if you can wrap your mind around that, and if you can understand why employers have been conditioned to demand degrees, they don't care whether you've got a degree in basket weaving. They don't care whether your degree is in tennis or social affairs. You just have to have the degree. The Chamber of Commerce demands it. The schools demand it. The taxes demand it. We have to keep financing these schools. Anyway, folks, we'll be back for the second hour. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic food,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Thursday, February the 26th, 2009 broadcast of Become Vocal Local, going into the second hour here. And in this top of the hour segment, you know, we're always treading water gently as we anticipate going online with more and more broadcasters across America. So you know how I've started these broadcasts, this first five-minute segment, just kind of in a general internet-only, a homeschool classroom kind of a discussion. I'll forego that shtick, if you will, and just simply say that there's several different ways that you can get involved with today's broadcast. You can pick up the telephone. That's one of the easiest ways to do it, and call in and join me live on air. That's 512-904-8014. That's in the Austin area, or for those with unlimited long distance. You can also call in on our toll-free line at 866-841-1065. Do have a email box and welcoming emails to host@vocallocal.org. That's another way to get a hold of me, host@vocallocal.org. And you can also send in letters the old-fashioned way, snail mail, William Roberts at Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri. That's 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Got something rather interesting in the chat room I'm going to need to grab. I'll grab it during the break if it doesn't scroll out of my view. And I thank Lakeshore for posting that there. I'll look at that in a moment. But nevertheless, we're talking about politics. I talk about a lot of politics on this broadcast. And there's reasons for it, but in the first hour, we just introduced a little bit from B.A. Hinsdale's book, his textbook, The American Government, and now we're looking at another book published in 1971, The Politics of American Democracy, continuing a little bit from that, which we started earlier this week. But there's a vast difference between book A and book B. Huge. It's like you're in two different, not only are you in two different times, and you definitely are there, one being published shortly after the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, and this one in the midst of another war, the Vietnam War. And they're considerably different. They approach the whole idea of teaching politics from completely different backgrounds, or completely different sources. In the beginning here, with B.A. Hinsdale, he's just starting to hear the philosophical, radical concept of positivism coming out of France and the French socialists. And here, at the time that this other book was written, where we're talking about the politics of American democracy, as opposed to the constitutional studies of American government, the democracy versus the republic, if you will, here we can see that the whole concept of education for political involvement is completely different. Let's go into chapter two. I want to lay this out for you a little bit. We've got a long ways to go in today's second hour. Don't want to run out of time. This is a second chapter. It's called Culture and Ideas. It says, we cannot analyze the American political system without first looking at the environment within which it works and fails to work. This is the mindset that was going down in the 70s. You see, on one hand, we're sowing the seeds of hope, and in the very same sentence, what the left hand gives, the right hand takes away. The political system works and fails to work. Give and take. Have you ever read the Declaration of Human Rights, United Nations? Oh, it sounds so wonderful. It sounds so wonderful, all of these rights being declared. until you get to the last one, at which point it takes it all back. That's what we're up against, folks. We'll be back and continue this on the other side. Stick with us.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And yes, indeed, we are back. This is the Thursday, February the 26th, 2009, second hour of the broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. We're in the middle of a discussion of culture and ideas, politics and politics. More politics, and I just started in on this chapter two. Let me read that first sentence again for those who are just joining us. We cannot analyze the American political system without first looking at the environment within which it works and fails to work. So not only are we giving with one hand and then taking it back, sowing a seed of doubt in the mind of the student in 1971, very important time period, by the way, but we're also reinforcing the use of the word environment. The environment within which it works. And then I'll continue. He says, in the first chapter, we used a neat little circle to represent the decision-making activities of a political system and some arrows to represent input and output activities. You could look and I could indicate here, these are very short sentences using very simple common language and then making full use of diagrams, Venn diagrams, things like that, charts, as they say, Some used a neat circle to represent the decision-making activities. This is the introduction, or really the metastasizing of plain English. Plain English. It's like that U.S. radio that goes out across the world and they have it in plain English. Have you heard those kind of things on shortwave? So that anybody, whether they're in mainland China or in Cuba or someplace where they may perhaps don't speak English fluently, they can understand plain English. But it's also the dumbed-down language, not quite eubonics, but on that direction. Let's go into this a little bit further. But we must never forget that those symbols are nothing more than our way of looking at the behavior of a lot of fellow human beings. Those symbols, in other words, these words and the charts and the arrows, these are symbols. And as I've shared with you before in logical positivism, where words simply become symbols in a language game. Unless you know what the meta language is, the language about the language, you may not understand what is meant by the symbols. But again, what they're talking about is that looking at government in a new way, whereas the behavior, you're looking at the political system as simply being the behavior of a lot of fellow human beings. And they're going to continue along this direction in this chapter. These are people who sweat, have lofty ambitions and base appetites, make mistakes, achieve great goals, fornicate, and otherwise behave as real human beings. You notice the word fornicate? This is a college textbook. You know, there was a time just a few years before this, in the 60s, that would be considered vulgar. They pulled the Catcher of the Rye out of the school libraries. They pulled out a lot of material that would be considered vulgar. And yet, you're going to find a lot more of that in this textbook. Why? Because they're socializing, they're doing political socialization of a new generation of young minds, captive audiences. They believe they're in college. They believe they're in a system of higher education. It's okay to think like this. Adults do this. You see what I'm saying? Where I'm going with that? And to behave as real human beings. Well, we saw in the previous chapter what a human being is and how it was defined. Unless you were socialized, you were not a human being. You're just considered to be basically an animal. One aspect of their behavior, whatever affects authoritative decision-making, we have chosen to single out and to call a political system. So whatever affects the authoritative decision-making becomes the political system, and it's only because we've chosen to call it that. We've chosen to single it out and call it that. There's a new king on the block. This is the refutation of absolutes and the introduction in the mind of the student, perhaps entering just the first quarter of college, or maybe this is their third year, the beginning of their third year, after they've got their undergrad things out of the way, and now they're going into political science for their major studies. But basically, this is the undermining of absolutes and the insertion of relatives. As Auguste Comte said, this everything is relative. That is the only absolute in his positivist polity and positivist philosophy and positivist religion. This is an intellectual abstraction on our part, a way of identifying the political aspect of life. A political system is accordingly an analytical rather than a tangible or concrete phenomena, phenomenology. That goes back to Claude Henri Duveroy St. Simon. See, so when I say I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions, we're talking about some of the good news is I've read all this stuff and can draw these distinctions for you. The bad news is that this is hard fact because this is what was used to educate the minds of many of the people who are in government positions today. A political system is accordingly, again, an analytical rather than a tangible or concrete phenomena. In the real world, we cannot conveniently look for a separate compartment of people or of activities called the political system. You know, we do that today, yet. How many times in your own, in the last 60 days, have you talked about the elite? The elite, without defining them. A friend of mine at this time period in the 70s, Richard, wonderful fellow, student of microbiology at the University of Washington, a fantastic and phenomenal guitar player. He taught me so much about guitar in a couple of years that we were close friends. But he was a brilliant mind. And we decided one day, middle of the, I don't know, afternoon, sun shining into my little studio apartment, that we would stop using they and them in our vocabulary. And that if either of us said they or them, we'd be penalized for a cigarette or had to buy the next beer or something. Because we were going to stop saying they and them, and we were going to start saying the name or the place or the thing that we were actually talking about, rather than using just simply they or them. Instead of saying elite, who are we talking about? And how did they become elite? Instead of just simply saying the government, who are we talking about? And how did they become the government? And how are they separate from us? And how are they different from you or I? Continuing here, it says, recognizing that a political system is just a label, we've put on some of the things people do may make it easier to appreciate that their political activities influence and are influenced by the other non-political things they do. We have the best government that we have. We have the government that we are, I guess you could say. Our government is nothing more than a reflection of us, because we are the enemy and they are us. The people that are graduating out of the universities and colleges and getting their degree in Homeland Security and going to work for TSA or somebody like that, they're us. They're the kid that lives next door, down the street, across the block. And we need to be aware of that and focus on it. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
And we've returned once again, and if you would like to call into the broadcast, you're certainly welcome to. I'll try and take your calls live on air. It's 512-904-8014. Internationally, you may call 866-841-1065. Back to this culture and ideas, this second chapter in this book on democracy, if you will. Recognizing that a political system is just a label, blah, blah, blah. We went into that a little bit. We put on some of the things people do make it easier to appreciate their political activities, influence, and are influenced by the other non-political things they do, what they do in their lives. Maybe they're skiers, fishermen, run the hardware store, so on and so forth. It translates into what they do politically. The general culture, again from the article or from this chapter, the general culture, particularly the heritage of political ideas it encompasses, and the physical, demographic, and economic aspects of the environment all affect the political system. A lot of words in there. The introduction of terms is what's going down here. Demographics, economic aspects of the environment. That's right out of Agenda 21. So much. They all affect the political system. And we're a product of our training. We're a product of everything. The media, the whole works, the whole shebang. Going on to the next section of this particular chapter, politics, a cultural heritage. Listen again, 1970s. We're transforming the way young people think and how they react in colleges, in the college environment. This is immediately on the heels of the free speech movement, you know, all of that sit-ins and love-ins and whatnot, Berkeley, California, 1960s and 70s, the free speech movement made a big change. A lot of the university professors left college thereafter, didn't want to be involved with this new speak, new way of thinking, this new alignment, this move towards socialism in a big way, in an overt and obvious way. Even in the 1970s, we'd already been 20-some years well into a socialization of America. But here we go. In a Miss America contest, what's that got to do with politics and things? In a Miss America contest, we can safely forecast that the American judges will not award first prize to the young lady with the most elaborate tattoos, the most elongated lips, or the most elegantly deformed feet. Now today, that might not apply. Today, the one that has the most elaborate tattoos and the most juice shoved into her lips might very well take Miss America. But let's continue. Although each of these attributes is essential to true, quote-unquote, beauty among some people, Americans choose to value different abnormalities, such as spectacularly large breasts in combination with unusually small waists. What's that doing in a college textbook on political science? I don't know. Other than that, it's basically, again, just sowing all of this Aleister Crowley stuff into the minds of the students. The parents are unaware of what the children are reading, what the young people are reading, the young men and women in college are reading when they study this kind of material. And, of course, everyone in the class would titter, I guess, supposedly, right there. All the boys, you know, laughing about spectacularly large breasts in combination with unusually small waists, and the girls that don't have spectacularly large breasts or peculiarly narrow waists feel immediately inadequate, that sort of stuff going down. Psychological manipulation of the student mind. Continuing, if beauty, which appears at first glance to be an inherent and universally recognizable quality, is subject to extreme variations, then surely political values must also be molded by culture And in some regard, that is a true statement. If we know that a person has been brought up as an American, we can predict how he will normally react to certain political situations. Truth. We can say, for example, that he will probably not support a man who claims an office to which he has not been elected. Bury the usurper. Absolutely a true statement. And if he is an elected official himself, he will relinquish his office whenever he is defeated in a popular election. True enough, you may say, but what do these obvious generalizations have to do with the details of American political behavior? Question mark. They simply suggest that we ought to look at the relationship of culture to politics in a more systematic way than we usually do. So no matter how circuitous the route, we get around to where this particular chapter in this textbook is going to go, and now we're on to something a little bit more useful. Let's follow it. Culture and the way we view the world, second section. Our national peculiarities, which seem so natural and right to us, spring from our culture. And as our culture shifts, now I'm just jumping in, as our culture shifts, obviously then, so will our political system. And so if we can be taken far afield by the media and by our pastors and teachers and preachers and mothers and fathers and uncles and so on, by our friends, our peers, the further afield we can be taken in our upbringing, the easier it will be to present us a new type of religion, a new type of government, a new monetary system, a new global order. And the young will just accept it. They'll just eat it up because they've been enculturated. They've been politically socialized to accept it. Continuing here from the textbook, it says, by culture, we mean the habitual modes of thought and behavioral characteristics of a given society. It's a way of thinking, feeling, and believing. A way of thinking, feeling, and believing. Of course, we're in the socialist mindset. Emotions and feelings and certain beliefs creep in. They play upon those things. As opposed to critical thinking and logic and rhetoric and those sorts of things that were valued in times past, we get into feeling. How do you feel about that? Well, what do you think? How do you feel? Instead of what is the truth? What is the facts? What are the evidence? It's how do you think? How do you feel? You know, opinions. We all have opinions. Opinions are just like elbows. They're easily bent to suit whatever purpose is at hand. What's your opinion on this? You with me? Words do have meanings. In other words, the culture of any society is social heredity, the man-made part of the environment, the ideas and habits that are acquired by all normal people. Notice they use the word normal people. The habits, the ideas and the habits that are acquired by all normal people. A normal person in the context of what we discovered in the first chapter here are those who have been politically socialized. They've become human beings. And all normal people are human beings in the process of growing up. That means socialized in that society. A human having being socialized in that society. This means that the culture includes political behavior no less than courtship practices and funeral customs. So what we do at a church for a wedding, or what we do at a church or in the graveyard for a funeral, is on the same par here in the minds of the authors as what we do in politics. It means that politics is not isolated from other activities, even though we may study it separately. In a study focused exclusively on American government, this is an important point to bear in mind. It will help us to be more objective in our appraisal of political behavior and will keep us from the pitfalls of provincialism. The pitfalls of provincialism, in itself worthy of study. Then we could go into localism, we can go into pluralism in many other directions, but I'll just let that steep and soak in your mind for a moment. The pitfalls of provincialism, the pitfalls of having a strong sense of community here in the Ozarks in southwest Missouri, for instance, the pitfalls. of provincialism. We'll pick it up there on the other side of this break. Stay right with me.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again. Let's go on to this a little bit further here. It means that politics is not isolated from other activities, right? And this is what this culture and ideas segment is all heading towards in greater and in an enlarged method. Let's go into it a little further. In a study focused exclusively, again, on the American government, this is an important point to bear in mind. It'll help us to become more objective in our appraisal of political behavior and will help keep us from the pitfalls of provincialism. I repeated that several times. On the basis of her long study of different cultural patterns, anthropologist Ruth Benedict concluded, the life history of the individual is first and foremost an accommodation to the patterns and standards traditionally handed down in his community. Again, now we're dragging in an anthropologist, a Ruth Benedict. So we have an expert say, at least in this instance, we're naming the expert, so it's not just a generalist expert say or anthropologist conclude. We're naming the person, and then in this particular textbook, we find it's a footnote that Ruth Benedict, in her book Patterns of Culture, New York, Mentor Books, 1934, on page 2, this quotation was lifted. So on the second page of a book, you rarely find the full meal deal. Sometimes you just find early hypotheses or laying down basic tenets. So this is just a basic tenet here on page 2 of this Ruth Benedict's book, again published some nearly 45 years prior to the publishing of this textbook. And then it goes on. It says, journalist Walter Lippmann painfully discovered the meaning of this truth for politics after an early career in which he had vainly tried to convince Americans of the need for reforms. Vainly tried to convince the Americans for the needs for reforms. So we find that today as we try and try and try to reach out and wake up more people. So much of what was going down in the 70s is going down again today. As before, as above, so below, as history repeats itself, and so on. All kinds of trite things could be thrown in there. He concluded that we do not approach politics with an open mind. Here's his quote. For the most part, we do not first see and then define. We define first and then we see. It's important. It's an interesting distinction. I underlined it. I highlighted it. In the great blooming, buzzing confusion of the outer world, we pick out what our culture has already defined for us, and we tend to perceive that which we have picked out in the form stereotyped for us by our culture. Sometimes we cannot see the forest for the trees. The indoctrination runs so deep. Unlearning a college education is sometimes the most difficult task someone has to face when they actually begin to wake up. Continuing here, opinions are not built in a neutral fashion, then on the basis of systematic observation. Indeed, we have attitudes towards many things we never observe, from the British socialized medicine to French sex life. Notice again the inclusions here as examples. British socialized medicine. So now let's introduce to our political scientists in their very opening work socialized medicine and hook in the British socialized medicine. And from the chat room, that introduces the Poor Laws. It introduces Sidney and Beatrice Webb. It introduces John Stuart Mill, James Mill, and Fabian socialism. And to the French sex life, everyone knows the French are like rabbits, right? Or that there's something aberrant about the French sex life, something more aberrant about the French having sex than Spaniards or Americans. But they had to salt that in to get the word sex into communication at the earliest level here in this study. And we acquire attitudes towards countless other things, from college professors to student demonstrators. You notice how they're salting things in here now. All right? Now, do we have the use of the term student demonstrators today in our textbooks? I don't know. Perhaps it's got a recurrence. Maybe it's been dredged up again. But certainly in 1970 and 1971, student demonstrators and certain attitudes between professors and student demonstrators, certainly on the heels of the free speech movement, this was common parlance. And yet again, we're putting it into the textbook as if student demonstrators was natural, normal, and ordinary behavior. Having picked up the attitude unencumbered by experience, we tend to later to notice particularly those events that support our preconception. If we expect college professors to be absent-minded, we perceive any absent-minded act by a professor as typically professorial, whereas we perceive similar acts done by doctors or lawyers as personal idiosyncrasies. When we have strong feelings about a subject like student demonstrations, now it's reinforced, that's the second time, in the space of a paragraph, for example, we find it hard to accept any facts that may be contrary to those feelings, facts and feelings. Our culture not only shapes our opinions, but also helps determine which facts we will notice and how we interpret them. And so I'm trying to point out certain facts for us to notice and share with you my opinions on those facts and perhaps why they were inserted into this textbook. Our manifestation of the crisis of American culture in the 1970s, the use of the word crisis, the crisis of the American culture in the 1970s is that Americans are suddenly in disagreement on the true facts about American life. We are in a disagreement about the true, quote-unquote, here in this text, facts about American life. The, quote-unquote, silent majority presumably sees the country in traditionally prescribed ways as, quote, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, close quote. But many young Americans and a significant minority of older ones dissent vehemently. And so they salt that in there. Were people in 1970 in disagreement about one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty for justice and justice for all? Or were the student demonstrations aimed at what was going on in East Asia, what was going on in Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos, the Gulf of Tonkin lie, etc., etc.? The freedom of speech, the freedom of assembly, certain rights and privileges that were being denied, etc. There was only a small fragment of the communist agitators. There was a whole bunch of common Jews that were standing in those demonstrations as well, black and white. At the extreme, they see, quote, listen, one police state under the military-industrial complex deeply divided with power in the establishment and injustice for the masses, close quote. And certainly, that could easily be replaced for this one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You can replace it with one police state under the military-industrial complex deeply divided with power in the establishment and injustice for the masses. That was a commonly held thought, largely inculcated, but nevertheless, it was unmistakable. You know, Ike, president 52 on through, I think 8 years, did he? 60, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think he did 2 terms. I might be mistaken there. Warned against the military-industrial complex. President Kennedy, in his address, warned about secret societies and secret institutions and all that. We talk about police state today, one police state under the military-industrial complex, deeply divided with power in the establishment and the injustice of the masses. Seems to me that the same mantra going round again, making more hay. Maybe something didn't change in all of these years. At a lesser extreme, the entire nation has become aware of continued injustice towards blacks. Now we're in the 1970s, shortly after the civil rights and all of that. Now we're introducing the word blacks instead of Negroes. You could go 10 years before this in textbooks and you would have found the use of the term Negro. Black was one of those things that got in. Black power, the upraised symbol, the communist, you know, fist. Black was one of the things coming in right then. Blacks and Negroes and mulattoes, those are all dictionary terms. You know, black doesn't have anything to do, you know, with the people, so to speak. It's part of the culture, a cultural change. But notice how they say it here. Towards blacks, Spanish Americans, not African Americans, that hadn't come in quite yet, but Spanish Americans and Indians, capitalized for the I. Notice they didn't use indigenous people. They didn't use aboriginal people. So in 1971, it was still fine to say Spanish Americans and Indians, instead of saying Latinos and indigenous people. Newspeak, how it changes all the time. Of widespread poverty, of an increasingly polluted environment, and of unlivable ghetto conditions, and of the violence on college campuses. Rage, rage, rage going on in here. That's what was happening in the 70s. This was the beginning of socialization. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot related profile, CCW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit our website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we've returned once again, and we're in this college textbook taking a look at culture and ideas as it was being inculcated in 1971 in the Politics of American Democracy, 5th edition, closing out this particular section so that we get a better idea of many things, better idea of politics, first of all, but also a better idea of the time and the time that we're living in, and the paradigms that keep getting rolled out, hoping that people forget. They have short memories. You know, they talk about the attention span of the American people being very short, about the same length as a rock, perhaps. But also to understand who's in power today. Many of the people that went to college right in this time period using these textbooks are today in government. There are those that would sit on the cabinet, if you will, of Jorge Bush. Those that are all clustered in around Barry the Usurper. So it helps us to understand a little bit about what's happening today, to understand where they came from and where we've come from. Let's go into it a little bit deeper here, again from the textbook. On the first 4th of July in the decade of the 70s, it was a leading magazine rather than a radical journal that reported, here's the quote, "We have become more painfully conscious of what pulls us apart than of what holds us together, and some of our most sober public and private men are concerned for our common future. This Independence Day finds the nation in a recession of the spirit, a psychic downturn so pronounced that the mood may in itself constitute a kind of American crisis." You didn't have to go to find that in a radical journal someplace. It was in a common, widely publicized publication. Let's see what it was. It was in Newsweek. published on July the 6th, 1970, on page 19, if you want to look it up. But who runs Newsweek? And who runs Time? And who runs the Times and the Washington Post? And why would you put banner headlines? You know, I remember the day I came home from school, and on the coffee table in our living room, there was a Time magazine. I used to love to read Time magazine when I was young. And on the cover of it, it said, God was dead. You see how they teach you all this stuff? They drop this stuff in your mind. I mean, you couldn't get any more authoritative than Time magazine. I was shocked. I thought maybe they found him someplace in a ditch, frozen to death overnight in Alaska in the wintertime. It gets very cold. God was dead. And here, we're seeing the same thing, basically, in the 70s as we're seeing today. Wouldn't this be just as fine in a News with Views article? This Independence Day finds the nation in a recession of the spirit, a psychic downturn so pronounced that the mood may in itself constitute a kind of American crisis. You could hear about it all over the web. But this was written 30 years ago, 38 years ago, 39 years ago. The five-year-old son of one of our colleagues plays cops and demonstrators, quote-unquote, with his little friends. The ones playing cops kick, gas, and shoot the demonstrators, while those playing demonstrators throw rocks, lie down in protective poses while being kicked, and call their playmates pigs. This is a college textbook, my friends. I'm quoting directly out of it. This is considerably more subtle than Cowboys and Indians, and much more revealing as to the divisions in American society. And that's really what's happening here. It's the dividing of the people over these issues, created in whole cloth, and then inculcated and socialized to bring us to where we are today, step by step by step, as the Fabian socialist model, the gradualism, permeation and penetration. This is considerably more subtle, again, than Cowboys and Indians, and much more revealing as to the divisions in American society. Should the son of a construction worker or a policeman join the game, he would no doubt be as eager to play cop as the professor's son is to play demonstrator. Notice now they're setting it up. All right? The hard hats, the cowboys, the rednecks, they play the cops, and the intelligentsia play the demonstrators. Okay, the demonstrators are the wise. And the cops are so brutal. No less significant than the differences in role identification is the fact that the professor's son is rarely exposed in neighborhood play to the offspring of the policeman or the hard hat, quote unquote. That's right. The professor's son doesn't live in the same neighborhood with those Irish children whose fathers are cops, or those Germans or Welsh or whomever who would be hard hats. See, it's dividing in a textbook. In class, in the first and second chapters. The common features of the American culture thus overlie deep fissures. What looks to some like the tragic slaughter of active college students, and it looked like that to me, my friends. The tragic slaughter, remember Kent State? I do. What looks to some like the tragic slaughter of active college students looks to others like the enforcement of law and order on a mob of riotous and irresponsible freaks. When people see the same facts, quote-unquote, so differently, they're living in conflicting subcultures. If such a condition deepens and persists, a common culture cannot be said to exist. And that's exactly the plan. That's what was happening. And people were sending their children to colleges, and young men and women were going to doing extra yeoman work, working night jobs and things like that, cocktailing and whatever. Playing guitar in a bistro or something, trying to make ends meet, hustling pool, doing whatever they could to afford college. But in those days, college was quite affordable. The doors to the educational system were wide open, and school loans were inexpensive and easily gotten. Some didn't ever get a chance to pay them off. Some reneged on those loans, but many paid them off. Let's go to another place here in the last couple of minutes. When we think about becoming vocal local, and energizing within our political system, we need to know, first of all, who we are and whose we are. But we also need to know more about how our system works and how it doesn't work, just as the author stated, how it can work and how it is not working today, how it was designed not to work to bring us to this level of dissatisfaction. And if we energize within it, we can make major changes right where we are, and we can do it quickly and economically right where we are. This from Thomas Jefferson, basically to emphasize the role of a strong local self-government. He wrote it, I didn't, but I'll quote it. The way to have a good and safe government is not to trust it all into one, but to divide it among the many, distributing to everyone exactly the functions he is competent to perform best. Let the national government be entrusted with the defenses of the nation and its foreign and federal relations, the state governments with the civil rights, laws, police, and administration of what concerns the state generally, the counties with the local concerns of the counties, and each ward, township, direct to the interests within itself. It is by dividing and subdividing these republics from the great national one down through all of its subordinations until it ends in the administration of every man's farm by himself, by placing under every one what is his own eye may superintend, that all will be done for the best. What has destroyed liberty and the rights of man in every government which has ever existed under the sun, The generalizing and concentrating all cares and powers into one body, no matter whether of the autocrats of Russia or France or the aristocrats of a Venetian Senate. And so here in Thomas Jefferson's, this is the from Berg, the writings of Thomas Jefferson, chapter 14, page 421. But here in these writings, we can see that he's talking about each township, each ward, becoming vocal, local, and getting active politically in your local voting precinct group and on your own farm. You know, Aristotle talks about it. He says that, you know, all government starts with the man, and then the man joins himself to the wife, and now they have a household forming. They have children, and then their children raise up around them, and now they're actually forming a community, and then more and more families come together, etc. And from all of that, government grows. So government is not some de-headed or beheaded thing that exists out in the cosmos somewhere. It's a natural outgrowth of man. It's not put on us. It's something that we create ourselves through our own consent. Governments are instituted among men to preserve and to protect our lives. We talk about self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency is kind of a twist of the concept of being self-reliant. If you can rely on the produce of what you're doing, then you in some ways become self-sufficient. But no one man is sufficient unto himself. No man is an island. We work best in society, always have, likely always will. It always starts with the individual. That means you. And until the next time, good day. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.